Good morning. So happy to be in the house of the Lord again. Last week we were here together last Sunday, and this Sunday we're here together again. And I know God is going to speak through me. I was running late this morning, but I say, devil, you're a liar. I will make it on time. Praise the Lord. I'll make it on time. You know, being a father and a husband, you have a lot going on. We thank God for our son, Munyo, just turned 18 today. Happy birthday for Munyo. Yesterday, her sister, Lydia, took us somewhere in a very fancy restaurant. You know, I don't go to those places because it costs a lot of money. Because she's working, she said, hey, I can't waste it. I need to take my brother out. You know, he's turning 18. We're so blessed that we have brought him in the way of the Lord, and he's doing wonderful. He was struggling to pierce his ears. You know, those. I said, no, that's not going to happen here. He wanted to put something in his ear. I said, no, that's not going to happen. But the mother told me, no, you know, this is a young man. You got to give him some chance. So it was a wonderful moment with the family together, and we went to sleep very late. Because we were waiting for that midnight to come so we can celebrate Munyo's birthday together. I thank God. He was born here in Lincoln, such a young man that fears the Lord. I want you all to continue to pray for him so he can be a wonderful young man here in our community. So today's message has been taken from Gospel of Luke. If you have your Bible, you can open with me, Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 18 to 27. Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 18 to 27. Praise the Lord. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for a rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man, it is possible with God." Brothers and sisters, this is the reading of the word of God. The sermon today, I entitled it, "The Impossible Possibility." The impossible possibility. The test of a good life. The test of a good life. What does it take to be a right with God? That is the question here. If you were to stand before God and he asked you and me today, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" What will you say, or me myself? Many of us, like this man in this history today, will point to our resume. "I have tried to be a good person. I am moral, I am religious kind of person." But today's passage is going to edify and rectify us big time in the depths of our assumptions about goodness and salvation and what it truly means to inherit the eternal life. And that's why we're here in church. We all one day want to be with the Lord in heavenly places. The question of self-justification here, the respect for ruler, he was very young man, and certain ruler, he's a very rich young fella, have a lot of money. You know, in Middle East, those who have a lot of camel back in the days, a lot of donkeys, a lot of cows, you know, animals, they are very rich people. So this guy was a very rich young man. And in his social, likely moral standing, he was morally standing in his community. He helped his community beyond. There's nothing wrong with that. And he asked Jesus Christ that day, I don't know whether it's morning or evening or midday, but he asked Jesus. He was very curious. He wanted to know something. He asked Jesus, say, good teacher, what must I do to inherit the eternal life? Because he's concerned now. He wants to enter. How can he inherit that eternal life? He's asking Jesus. But he calls Jesus good. Because he have known Jesus is doing greater thing. He said, let me call him a good. And little Jesus immediately. Jesus immediately reflect back to God. Jesus initially responds here. I want us to pay attention. It is Jesus' first challenge. The man's casual use of good, pointing him to the intimate standard of goodness. God himself, he then lists several of the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, why you call me good? I'm not a good person, but God only is a good one. Imagine Jesus, we're all looking up to, he's a good man, he's a great man, but he despises, he said, no, I'm not. But God only is a good person. Because Jesus doesn't want to take a credit for himself. Notably, Jesus lists some commandments here that are very important for us to know in our relations with others. Jesus said, honor your mother and your father. That's very important. For young people, if you have your mother or father, even if you're not young, but you have to respect them, you have to honor them. Because it's important, once you honor your parents, you will live longer, and of course, you'll have a place in this world we're living in. No adultery, no murder. These are the easiest self-assess here. So the young man here, the young ruler replied very confidently. He said, the ruler declared, all this I have kept since I was a boy. So he have kept this since he was a boy. That means he's a good man in his community. He's doing greater thing. But he was likely telling the truth. What he was telling Jesus is the truth. He was a model citizen. He's a good citizen in Lincoln. Morally standard. Very good man. He's telling the truth. But his answer reveals the fatal misunderstanding here. He reduced the righteousness to a checklist of behaviors, missing the heart level requirement of law. So now here, the diagnosis of the heart's idol in verse 22-23, the loving diagnosis upon hearing this confident claim, Jesus delivered the diagnosis with a surgical procession here. He said, in essence, you say you have kept all these commandments. This is still one thing you lack. Jesus said, there's something, it's the one thing you're lacking. So the man was so surprised. What is that one thing I'm lacking now? I have done all these good things, but what is it? I want to know. He becomes so curious and so eager. He wanted to know. And then Jesus said, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. That's a big problem. That's a big problem for that young ruler. He doesn't want to take that from Jesus. Is that the one thing I'm lacking? Sell everything and give it to the poor? It became a challenge here. This was not a universal command for all believers here. So I have my house, I have my money, I have my businesses. Now Jesus is telling me, more or less, go ahead and sell all these things and give it to the poor so that you follow me so I can inherit the kingdom of God? No, I'm not going to do that. The young ruler said, no, that's not going to happen. Yeah. In his heart, he's not happy about that answer. He said, no, that's not going to happen. So now here, he was not happy about it. This was a specific personal preparation for this man, specific spiritual sickness. So he had that problem. He doesn't want to hear that. His wealth was not just his possession. It was his idol. He loved his wealth. You know, once you love something so much, it will turn to be an idol. I have some people in my community, once they buy a new car, man, they love that car so much. Wash that car every day and stop that car right there in the corner so people can look at it. Hey, look at that new Mercedes sitting there. Who is the owner? He doesn't want kids to come close because he don't want his car to be scratched. That car become an idol right there. So we got to be very careful. It become his idol right there. And now it become very challenging for him to even do what Jesus wanted him to do. It was idol. It was a source of the security, identity, and trust. You know, you have a lot of wealth, become yourself of, you know, to identify yourself and trust. And Jesus was exposed that to man, had broken the very first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. His money was his God now. And God is telling us here, you will never, you don't have to have any God before me. He's a jealous God. He said, I am the Lord that I change not, and I will never share my glory with anybody, even my praise. So this guy now is replacing God with his wealth that he trusts so much. And we have seen this thing in our communities. Those who have a wealth, sometimes they're very far from God. Because why go to church? I have everything here. I can help myself. But wealth cannot help certain things. You can have a wealth. You can have a beautiful car. You will never bring you peace. You can have a beautiful house. Will never bring you peace. You can have all these resources, but you don't have that peace. The only peace comes from God himself. So once we commit ourselves, we surrender everything to him, therefore we can have that peace. The tragic choice here, when he heard this, he became very sad. The Bible says, become very sad. No, I'm not taking this. Jesus, I can do anything else, but this one? No, I'm out of here. That was the thing. I'm out of here. I'm not going to deal with this kind of thing. How can I surrender my wealth and give my money to the poor? I work hard for this money. I work hard for my wealth. I struggle years and years and years to build this. Maybe I inherited from my parents or from my grandfather. You telling me to give it away and give it to the poor and follow you? No, I'm not going to be, I'm not a Zacchaeus here. Zacchaeus gave half his wealth to Jesus. But me, no. I'm not doing this. This guy was struggling. He was Bible says he was very sad because he was very wealthy. His sadness reveals he felt the weight of the choice. But his departure reveals his decision right there. He said, no, he chose his temporal treasure over the eternal treasure. Because the Bible says we have to save our money whereby no thief, no nothing can come and mess it up. That will be in heavenly places. So, standing before him, the announcement of the impossible gospel here, in verse 24, 27, this shocking principle, Jesus then declared a shocking truth that overturned conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom. How hard it is for a rich to enter the kingdom of God. Riches is not a bad thing. But Jesus said, how? It's not easy for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And that culture, wealth, was often seen as a sign of God's blessings. You know, sometimes if you're very rich, wealthy, people always look at, you know, God bless. Because whatever God blesses you, he adds no sorrow into it. You know, people are looking at you, you are so blessed because you are wealthy. You see, so Jesus says it can actually be the greatest spiritual handicap because it fostered deadly self-sufficiency. That's what it is. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than of someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Recently, I was in Egypt. I saw camels, very tall animal, very huge. For you to climb into that animal, camel, you have to come down. So you jump there and he will get up. And very tall, it's very scary. So, but Jesus is saying here, the camel can go through the eye of needle. It's more easier than a rich person. That's become a challenge to us believers today. As I share this with you, I wanted to share with others. Even though God bless us so much, but we have to be a source of blessing to somebody by surrendering our things to God, so God will manifest through our lives. It is difficult. The turning point here, the listeners ask the crucial question to Jesus Christ. Who then can be saved? They want to know, because this is very challenging to them, to the disciples. They say, so who can be saved here? This is a moment of grace. Then finally understood that if the good and blessed rich man cannot save himself, then no one can. The system of self-justification has collapsed. They want to know who can be saved then, because I mean, you know, if this is going to be impossible for this guy here, this young ruler. The gospel answer, Jesus' reply, is a climax of the entire encounter. What is impossible with man? What is impossible with man is possible with God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What is impossible with man is possible with God. That was the answer Jesus gave it to them. We thank God Almighty for this kind of answer. Impossible with man. Salvation cannot be achieved by human effort. We cannot get that salvation through our own effort. Not by morality, wealth, or religious observance. No. Then rulers do. Mentality is dead. And here, because possible with God. God accomplished what we cannot through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God provides the righteousness we lack, pays the debt we owe, and changes the heart we cannot change. He melts the heart of rich ruler and saves anyone. He's a God of second chance. He's a God of second chance. What is your one thing today, this morning, that is stopping you from inherit the kingdom of God? The issue is not just the historical account, brothers and sisters. It is a mirror for our soul. It's a mirror for my soul. What is that one thing is stopping us from not giving it to Jesus? Because this young ruler was so mad. The idol of goodness, it could be that one. Like the ruler was often trust in our own morality. I have done all this when I was young, since I was young. He was right. But Jesus said, you're lacking one thing. So what is that one thing lacking from Pastor Malesh to give it to God or surrender it to God today? We think I'm not so bad, but the standard is not better than others. It is the perfect goodness of God which we all lack. The perfect goodness of the Lord, that's we all lack. Your personal idol, what is the one thing Jesus will lovingly point it in your life or my life today? It may not be wealth. It could be something else. It could be something else. Maybe coming to church late. Maybe you are not sharing the little one you have, because sharing is caring. So all these things. Maybe argument in the family. Maybe you're not getting along with your child or your wife or your husband. Maybe at workplace you are a different kind of person. So all these challenges are here. All these challenges are here. The self-reliance, your intellect. Maybe you are a very educated person with an intellectual baggage. You have a PhD. You have a lot of degrees. It becomes your idol. You don't want to let it go. You come in within the brethren, you look at yourself, you're better because you are more educated than others. It could be our idol. Competence. Maybe you are very competent in something that others cannot do. Now that thing turned to be your idol or my idol. Or ability to control your life. I mean, all this kind of thing. You know, I got it all. I don't need God at this time. I got it. I can do it myself and I'll become successful. Therefore, we need to put God in everything we do so that we can be successful. Your reputation and what others think of you, approval of you, that could be your idol too. You say, no, everybody appreciate me. I'm a very great woman, great man. And sometimes you feel yourself like, you know, that's your idol now. So those are the things God is challenging us this morning. Comfort, your desire for a safe, predictable, easy life. You know, some people love easy life. That could be your idol. You don't want to get out of your comfort zone. You're just there. People struggle. You don't care much. That could be your idol too, or my idol. A relationship, a person you hold into more tightly than God. You know, sometimes we look at other people, you know, the people that we love, we idolize them, you know, and we forget God. That is a bit challenging here. Therefore, the call of Jesus remains the same. Follow me. Praise the Lord. Follow me, Matthew. Follow me, Zacchaeus. Follow me, John. Those young men left their business behind and followed Jesus. The Bible says Jesus came into that seaside that morning, met with John. He said, John, can I use your boat? John said, yes. Push your boat into the deep of waters. Throw your net. The fish was all over the place. The boat was about to sink. And John went and kneeled down and said, Master, I'm a bad guy. Go away from me. And guess what? All of a sudden, the Bible says he left everything and followed Jesus. So we have to leave everything and follow Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have to leave everything and follow Jesus. It is a call to abandon our trust in ourselves, as I'm winding down, and in our idols, and to place our full trust in him. To be honest with you, the number that I see here, that's what God wants us to be here. He said, 1, 2, 3, I'll be in thy midst. You are so blessed to be here this morning. You are so blessed to be here this morning. You go out of your comfort zone. You say, I'm going to church to celebrate the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Here you are. God will bless you. God will honor you because you have honored him. You see, it is an admission that with us, salvation is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Let us pray together. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we see ourselves in this rich ruler. We are tempted to trust in our own goodness, in our own resources. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message today. Mold us, break us in pieces, so we can acknowledge your goodness always. Allow us, O Lord, to surrender everything we have to you so that your name will be glorified in our lives and in our community, in our country, and the entire world. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Yeah. Thank you. God bless you.